Please rise for the reading of the Gospel. The Gospel for today, and the basis for the sermon, comes from John 15, starting from verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. This is the Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
That fruit tree in the backyard is full of good memories. You remember that Grandpa planted it years ago, and every year Grandma makes the best apple cobbler from its fruit. You can remember spending hours relaxing in the shade of its leaves and snacking on its apples. It truly is the best tree ever. However, that storm last week was too much for it, and most of the branches were blown off. It's okay, though. It's still going to bear just as much fruit. After all, branches are branches. Both the ones that were blown off and the ones still attached will bear fruit just the same, right? Of course not. Only the branches that are still attached are able to bear any fruit. The branches that are broken off can't give you any leaves for shade or apples for snacking. They have to be connected to the tree. And we're like those branches, in a way. It's impossible for us to do anything to please God on our own. We have to be connected to Jesus. And Jesus, in our Gospel for today, uses a very similar picture, that of a grapevine and its branches, to teach us that we are his fruitful branches. He, as the vine, assures it, and the word empowers it. Now, the situation in which Jesus spoke the words of today's gospel were very frightening for the disciples. He had just told them that he was going to leave them and die. They were going to lose their beloved teacher. Even worse, Jesus told them that one of these men that they had traveled with, one of these men who was brothers to them, was going to betray him. Peter probably had it the worst. Jesus specifically pointed him out as one who would deny him three times. They were frightened. They didn't know what was going to happen. But Jesus loved them, and he comforted them with this truth. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. Let's dig into this picture. What is Jesus saying with this? He is the vine, the disciples are the branches. He is the center and the life for the disciples. They can only have true life and bear fruit when they are connected to him. In the same way, The disciples are the branches. They will go out in every direction and bear fruit as long as they remain connected to him. But the picture's not yet complete. They're not just random branches off of a wild vine. Rather, it is plan, and there is a gardener. Everything that they do, every fruit they bear, is supported and planned by God the Father as part of his grand design. He will make sure that the vine has all the nutrients it needs, all the power to go out to the branches, and the branches will receive all the loving care that they need to be sure that they will bear the full fruit. But not every branch bears the fruit that God made it to. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. It is possible that they could refuse to bear the fruits that God made them to. An example of such a fruit would be Judas. He knew that Jesus was the Son of God, and yet he betrayed him. And the eternal results of that choice are hinted at here. But the disciples are not those fruitless branches that Jesus was talking about. He reassures them, "You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you." Now, they are not clean and able to bear fruit because of anything they have done. Rather, it is Jesus, Jesus only Jesus, who made them clean and able to bear any fruit. And now that they know what their source is, he can give them this encouragement. "Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." They know that Jesus is their source. And from that, they can derive their power, their comfort, and their ability to go out and act. Remain in me. He already remains in them as the one who created the faith that connected them to him. And now, from that faith, they can go out and bear fruit in accord with his will. But what is this fruit that every Christian is going to bear? First of all, it's something that every true Christian has and holds dear. It is the faith that brings you to life spiritually and connects you to your Savior. And from that first fruit of faith will inevitably flow other fruits. Paul lists some of them in his letter to the Galatians. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and respect. Ultimately, not just those fruits of faith, but every act of faith that is motivated by love for God and is done in accord with his will is such a fruit that flows from your faith. But it is possible for a Christian to refuse to bear these fruits. It's entirely possible that someone could think, "Well, since I'm saved by grace alone, it doesn't matter what I do. I can always slack off at work. I can lie to get myself ahead. It doesn't matter if I'm living in accord with God's will. Jesus will forgive me anyway." Brothers and sisters, this cannot be. If you think that rejecting the will of God to live as pleases your sinful nature will leave you unharmed, think again. James has harsh words for a believer who believes such a thing in his letter. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead by itself. If you refuse the will of God, if you refuse to bear the fruits that he made you to bear, you will cut off your fruits. More than that, you will destroy your faith. And without faith, without fruit, God will cut you off. You are nothing but dead wood then, and dead wood burns. But you are not such wood. We will bear fruit. We will live in accord with God's will. Not because of anything in us, not because of our character or ability or our will to do good will, but rather because of Jesus. He is the one who acts in us to live in accord with God's will. And he, as the vine, assures that we will bear the fruit that he empowers us to bear. But how does this power to bear fruit come to us? Do we at least earn the right to bear this fruit by our own good living, our own good works, or maybe it's from an emotional high? No, brothers and sisters. Rather, it comes to us through the word that empowers us to bear fruits. You have already heard Jesus tell his disciples that they are clean, but what made them clean? Listen again. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It was the word that Jesus spoke to them over the 3 years that he was with them that made them clean. His word acted in their hearts to bring them to faith and empowered them to bear those fruits. And you have already heard Jesus tell them, remain in me. But he also says, if you remain in me and my word remains in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Jesus is placing the utmost emphasis on his word. It is not just an imparting of knowledge that you can use to accomplish something. Rather, it is the very power of God. And he connects his word and his word remaining in you with the granting of prayers. The power of God is very closely, intrinsically tied up with his word. Now, that's certainly very good for the disciples. And it's good for us too. Well, the disciples had the word that Jesus spoke to them directly when he was in his body. We have the same word with the same power in the Bible. It is no less effective. And it creates the same faith in the same Savior. But we don't always live like that, do we? It's far too easy to think of God's word as just a sacred textbook full of the right answers. It's far too easy to, well, everyone will acknowledge that God's word is inerrant, inspired, truly God's word. We sometimes forget that it is not just words. It is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. Therefore, brothers and sisters, remain in the word. Live in the word. Daily study it and take it to heart. And through it, you will be empowered to bear fruit, to increase in your love for those close to you, your family and your friends. Your faith will grow stronger and you will be strengthened to confess Jesus in front of those who may not always want to receive his word. Now, that best apple tree will certainly be down in production for the next few years as Grandpa fertilizes it and cares for it to bear the most fruit. But the Word of God never wanes, never bears less fruit. And how much can we thank God and appreciate what He has given us in His Word? Amen.